Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people who are making a positive difference in the world. We explore important aspects and areas of life, including business, sales, physical, mental, relationships, disabilities, and many more interesting topics. My name is Tom Tutal Cunningham, and I'm a Napoleon Hill Foundation certified instructor. I'm also a regular contributor to their weekly newsletter. And in March of 2012, I spoke at the Napoleon Hill International Convention in Malaysia, where I shared this video with Chopra. I have rheumatoid arthritis from my jaw to my toes since the age of 5. That's 44 years now. And in that time, I've had 4 hips, 4 knees, and 2 shoulders replaced and been hospitalized about 40 times. I also stand about 5'1" due to the heavy daily doses of the oral steroid prednisone that I had to take to fight my arthritis. I'm also a senior editorial researcher for the Canadian Business Journal. We are a digital-only publication, and we're the official and only media partner with the Canadian Chamber of Commerce. You can find out more about me at my website. It's Tom, the number 2, and Tall, TALL.com. My guest today comes highly, highly recommended from my great friend Judy Williamson, the director of the Napoleon Hill World Learning Center. Judy speaks extremely highly of Ping Yang, and she is my guest today. Ping received her bachelor degree in chemical engineering in 1985, and upon graduation, she joined an engineering firm in the northeastern part of China and worked as an engineer for 7 years. Ping then went to Kansas State University as a graduate student in 1992 and received her master's degree in grain science and industry in 1994. She then went to the University of Illinois at Urbana and received her PhD in May 1999. And in September 2000, she started to work at Cirister Inc. in Hammond, Indiana. During her time in Indiana, Ping accidentally found Dr. Hill's teaching online while searching for the next step in her life and started to study Dr. Napoleon Hill's philosophy at the age of 36. In July 2001, Ping joined the Cargill Corn Milling Research and Development Team in Dayton, Ohio, and she's been in Dayton ever since and worked as a senior research scientist and a principal research scientist. Growing up from a little girl who lived in poverty to a principal research scientist in one of the world's largest food companies, Ping has come a very long way. And every step along the way, she has followed some of the principles outlined by Dr. Hill unconsciously in her life. After Ping became a student of Dr. Hill's philosophy, she realized the power of those time-tested principles, and she knows that she can reach her great potential and achieve the great success when she applies those principles consciously. One of the principles is to maintain sound health, and Ping has always been a health-conscious person. Ping believes the secret of achieving long-lasting sound physical health lies in Dr. Hill's teaching, the faithful application of his teaching, and a holistic approach to health. And since 2007, Ping has been reading books and practicing the learning on herself and her family, and she has experienced improvements in her health as well as the health of her family. Ping is passionate about helping others to achieve health through food and physical therapies that have been practiced in China for thousands of years. Welcome to the show today, Ping.
Hi, Tom. Thank you very much.
It is very, very great to have you here, and as I said in the intro, both of our dear friend Judy Williamson speaks extremely highly of you, and anybody Judy Williamson speaks extremely highly of, I love to speak with.
That's very nice for Judy, but I do feel a little shocked to be on your show, actually. I'd say I'm just start this journey, but I'm definitely willing to speak up, to help whoever has an open mind to listen to this.
Exactly, and thank you so much. Now, you have a lot of degrees. You're a very, very educated person. And did that come from your family? Are they very, or your parents, were they very smart people and education-oriented for you to do so well in school and to wow, you got like a PhD and doctorates. Is that come from your family that supports that kind of education and has some of the brains in the family?
Well, actually, I don't think I'm that smart at all. As far as my family goes, my dad was a professor before he retired.
Yeah.
So he has a lot of students teach. He taught in college in China. My mom, actually, unfortunately, she finished her med school. And she was forced to quit school just to come home, stay home, help on the farm work. My mom actually grew up in a farm in north part of China back in her time. The girls just not really encouraged to continue with the education, everything. But my mom, she always valued education very much, because she didn't have the opportunity herself. So she encouraged all three of us. I have a younger brother and younger sister. Study hard. Go as far as we can go with our education. And with my mom, even she doesn't have a lot of education, but she has a lot of wisdom in life. And the older I get, the more I appreciate my mom, just the wisdom of life, the encouragement. I mean, when I think about Napoleon Hill's principles, my mom has a lot of it. I mean, she never learned that, but it's just a positive mental attitude that's just so my mom. I mean, going an extra mile, you know, it's unbelievable. I mean, I still vividly remembered she tried to learn, read. Well, she was a mechanical engineer, actually, before she retired. There are a lot of imported car trucks back then she has worked on, and she tried to read those manuals. There are a lot of words she doesn't recognize, so at the time we were in school already, so we helped her read that. I mean, just those. My mom is not a person who always lectures, but just by her action, seeing her doing that, just
wow. And that's such a blessing to have parents that model the success principles, because I so much see in life that kids model what their parents did and what their parents believed in. And so so great to have such a role model as your mother, who exemplified the success principles, had wisdom beyond even her own education, and then also who, you know, pushed you guys to go as far as you can with your education. Not everybody, as you and I both know, have parents that exemplify that, push them like that. And so what a blessing for you it was.
Totally agree. I totally agree. I just appreciate my parents a lot, especially, you know, again, as I'm getting older, just the more, you know, in the younger years, I feel, oh, it's just my parents. But once you grow older, you really appreciate them so much. Yeah.
Now, you started to learn Dr. Hill's philosophy in 2000 at the age of 36, but you really started to focus in on health in 2007. And so what happened in 2007 that started you on focusing on health so much?
So what happened is, actually, 2007, my dad was diagnosed with bone cancer.
Oof.
So he actually struggled with his health ever since he retired. He has a heart problem, he has liver problem, he had many kind of problem. Somehow we managed through all those hard times. But by 2007, actually, I was in China, and I noticed, I mean, he had a hard time walk. At the time, my parents lived in an apartment on the fifth floor. So he walked really slowly, just had a hard time. Both my brother, my sister, and myself, we tried to convince my dad, okay, while I was at home vacation, let's go to Beijing, check it out, see what's going on with you, everything. Well, one day he didn't want to do that. He felt like my vacation time is so short, so precious. He doesn't want me to spend all the time just going to hospital with him. So he refused to do that. And I came back to the U.S., and finally the situation just got worse and worse. And my brother made him visit a local doctor where they live. And he actually, I mean, although he had a hard time walking, but he was able to walk to the hospital to visit the doctor. After they did all kinds of exam, he was actually carried home. And the doctor just told my family he had bone cancer. And they said the best case, he will spend the rest of his life in bed. So it was really hard on my entire family, except my mom. For some miracle reason, my mom just don't think that's the right diagnosis. And but at the time, that's the doctor diagnosis, and all my younger brother, my younger sister, and their spouses just, okay, we really need to get the best doctor we can find. So they managed to find a really good doctor, and my dad was hospitalized. They went through many treatment, many months of treatment. So one thing about my mom, this is the other thing about her, it's just unbelievable. After that, I call home every week. Somehow my mom managed to keep this secret from me. And she also instructed my brother, my sister, don't tell all this detail with me. And they just, what they told me is, okay, we take him to the hospital, you know, we go through treatment. Nobody mentioned it was diagnosed as cancer. So one thing my mom is just, her theory is that I'm so far away, what's the point for me to worry about this? There's really not much I can do other than just worry myself to death. So, and all this time, they manage everything. Eventually, after, I don't know, 8 months treatment, something like that, my dad developed allergic reaction to all the medicine they used.
Wow.
So at the time, the doctor basically said there's really not that much they can do, and sent him home. And that's at one point I finally found this out through my sister-in-law, actually.
Wow.
And I start to do a lot of search on internet just to see what other options we have there. At the same time, my mom, again, just her personality, she doesn't want to give up. I mean, basically, doctors gave up, and my mom doesn't want to give up. She looked for different things. And they found a lady who practiced reflexology.
Oh, yeah.
And she comes to my parents' apartment a couple times a week. And just do that on my dad. And that was being done for a period of time. And again, every time I call my mom, she actually started to telling me she saw some improvement with my dad. And she started to really talk about this reflexology technology. I mean, at the time, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, right, that's going to work. I really, because, I mean, it doesn't make sense, right? I mean, how does this
relate? Yeah, no.
So, I mean, my mom even one time even, oh, when you come back next time, you really need to let her check you out, too. I said, yeah, mom. And as time going on, I mean, just fast forward, I went back the following year. And sure enough, my mom made the arrangement to get the lady come over and check me out. And her comment about me is I was, in general, pretty healthy. And I have two problems. One is I had stomach problem, which I mean, secretively, I feel like this cannot be right because I have my annual checkup Nobody ever told me I have stomach problem. I don't feel any problem in my stomach. I mean, just prove my mom was wrong, right? Of course, I didn't say it. But second thing she pointed out really blew my mind away. She told me I had gum problem. Right before I went back on vacation, I actually had my dentist appointment. My dentist told me I had gum problem. But that's after she examined my mouth with this thing, you know. Then she told me I had a gum problem. With this lady look at my foot and told me I have a gum problem. That really, yeah, got my attention. I mean, there is something into this, right? So I asked her question about this. So what's the principle? How does this work? All this stuff. She actually explained and told me what I need to do with my gums. So there are certain areas I need to keep press and massage on my feet that help my gum. And so, again, spent 2 weeks in China, came back, and saw my dad get a little bit better. And the picture I sent to you, actually, that was 2010, basically 3 years after my dad's diagnosis of bone cancer. We were in the park. I mean, he was standing, walk very slowly with me. All those years, no medicine. I mean, the only medicine actually, well, I took it back. The only medicine, he has constipation problem. So he used medicine for that. Other than that, there's no other medicine because any medicine they gave him, he just have reaction. His skin just to get this rash and itchy all the time, so he cannot handle any other medicine. But to make
and
a
was
long
he
story
in pain
short,
during this time or during those years after when he was sent home just to basically die? Because bone cancer can be, I've heard, the most painful cancer. Was it able to take the pain away as well and discomfort?
Well, he has pain, he has discomfort, but with the tender care my mom gave him, it's just unbelievable. He's managing it. And the interesting is, after he was able to standing, come walk a little bit, actually, my brother took him to visit another doctor, bring all those old x-ray, everything, and show the doctor, and the doctor look at x-rays. Well, based on this x-ray, this person probably still laying in bed. Well, here, he's sitting here. And the funny thing is, now they say it's probably misdiagnosed back then. So I mean, truthfully, we don't know what happened. We don't know what's the right diagnosis. Luckily, I mean, that doesn't matter to me. I still have my dad. That's the important thing.
Yes.
I mean, the thing is, I mean, there are a couple of main things just strike me. I have no idea what made my mom just disbelieve that diagnosis and persist that my dad will be all right. I don't know where her face come from regarding that.
Wow.
I mean, after all this,
it wasn't just denial. She wasn't just denying it.
No,
some people, when they are told something, she believed it.
It's not just denying. She believes that's not the right diagnosis because she had her theory. I don't know if you are familiar with that. In China, there's some kind of paste. You can, when you have pain somewhere, you can just put it on it. My mom's point was with that those x-ray, they shows the darkness, whatever the doctor based on their diagnosis. My mom said those are the area my dad used to paste the most often. So that's her base on her, I mean, on her belief. But again, that doesn't matter. Just the point is, faith is, I'm just, again and again, you know, Dr. Hill was so right back 80 years ago. We just
applied faith has kept him alive. Wow.
Exactly. Even from the loved one, you know.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah. And now
Ping, when I've studied and I've read a lot of nutrition and health books in the past, and it is such a confusing thing to do, I found, because I would read one book that would say do this, and then I would read another book that would say those guys are nuts, do this instead.
<The opposite. laughs>
What are there some books that you've read or some philosophies that you follow or authors, and why would you follow them versus someone else who may say, you know, that's the wrong way to do it this way instead?
I'm actually totally with you. When you read book, I mean, there are so many contradictory information out there. You know, one person saying this, the other person saying the opposite thing. However, what I realize is this. Because every human being is so different, every human body is so different. Even the same person at different time, your body is different. So certain system worked for certain people, doesn't mean that it's going to work for you. On same token, the other person developed the system that worked for them, doesn't mean that's going to work for you either, right?
Right.
So there's some of that into it. And for me personally, my criteria is that I look at the author, him or herself. Does this person look healthy themselves? And
yes.
Another thing is, do they practice what they tell you? Do they practice what they write in their book? So those are the two things I had when I read things. And I read quite a few books, especially I actually switched from the Western writing to Eastern writing. I mean, it's really funny how my journey just go around. I mean, I came here to go to graduate school, you know, get higher education to equip myself with new modern technology, everything. Somehow, after 20 years, the infinite intelligence take me back to my root, take me back to where I'm from. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And from now, with my new set of mind and with my new eyes, I look the Chinese culture, the Chinese, a lot of the old Chinese writing so differently. I mean, I so appreciate what our ancestors have done for human being, basically. I mean, really, when you think of think about the Western medicine and the Eastern medicine. There's basically two different philosophies, two different approach, two different pathway. I mean, which one is right, which one is wrong? I think both of them have their merit. It's, I just feel like I'm very fortunate. I have access to both of them. And
yes.
When you really think about it, I mean, even exercise. Think about exercise. I mean, the typical Eastern exercise, Tai Chi and yoga, right? Both of those forms are very slow. I mean, when I was younger, I don't think I could do either one of them. It's too slow for me. I need to move, right? Besides, you want to exercise. I mean, just doing that slow, how can you get any exercise out of it anyway? And now I'm telling you, I'm actually doing yoga 3 times a week, and I love it.
It's funny how our life evolves like that, and it's so true. Like I believe too that Eastern medicine, there's variety of different things you can do in Eastern medicine that's different than Western medicine, and you should keep an open mind. Even when I teach arthritis workshops, and the Arthritis Society teaches that, as you said, everybody reacts differently. So someone will say, what about this product, or what about acupuncture, or what about that? And you know what we tell them is we tell them, try everything. If you're in constant pain from arthritis, you will try everything. So try it as long as it doesn't bankrupt you and doesn't sound like it's totally nut crazy. But if something, you come across something, try it and see how it works on your own particular body. Because even in arthritis workshops, someone will say, oh, this was so amazing and I felt so good. And someone else will say, well, I tried that and I didn't feel anything.
Yeah, that happens for sure. But again, I mean, then when you look at the Western part, I mean, take the exercise example again, I mean, we talk about fast, quick, we talk about the build muscle, all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Then when you think about the medicine, I mean, actually even the word medicine in Chinese, in old writing, there are two parts of this word. The top part is literally means grass. The bottom part actually means music. So in traditional Chinese term, basically this is some kind of, well, in traditional Chinese term, when your body, I mean, traditional Chinese doctors think your body is a whole system. It's a system that's in harmony within itself, also in harmony with the nature, with the surroundings, right? That's basically kind of music. I mean, so that when you're sick, you're out of balance, you are not in harmony anymore. We need this some kind of grass put this music back into harmony. So basically then get you back to your health status. So that's the whole philosophy.
It's a different kind of philosophy for sure than Western.
Exactly, exactly. And again,
now,
go ahead.
At some point you came across Yuling Ma. Is that how you pronounce their name?
Yes, that's her name, actually. And,
her name, okay.
Yeah, that's her name. Out of all the books I read, she's my favorite author, actually. The reason being, first of all, like other authors I read, actually, my first favorite author was an IT person. His book entitled The Manual of Human Body. I think it's the English version of this book is available out there, too. He's an engineer, actually, wrote this book. It's and that's the first book I can understand in terms of understand the traditional Chinese medicine term, talk about certain things. So I fell in love with that book, and then I started purchasing a lot of authors' book. Basically, they use the modern language to explain the traditional Chinese. And each author has their own little therapy, own little exercise, for lack of a word, you do to make yourself healthy, everything. And I actually started doing that. One particular one is stand still with one foot, basically. You see how long you can do it. I mean, I do that just gradually. I was able to go like 2 minutes with one foot standing and close my eye, everything. It's pretty hard, but the problem I run into is all this is add on things in my routine. Sometimes I get busy, I just don't have time to do it. So that in 2008, I ran into Yueling Ma's book, again, by accident. Actually, not by accident. Somebody, one of my friends, emailed me her e-book. I look at the title. Yeah, the title was The Wisdom of Not Being Sick. Pretty fancy title. And then there's a subtitle. Basically, the publisher actually put her as the godmother of the health. I think, yeah, right. So I filed that into one of my folders. It sat in my folder for a while. And I was just not very impressed with this godmother title. It's okay. Another one of those I don't need. So, but after a while, early 2008, I think one day I said, okay, let me flip through this thing. I opened it up. I actually was really impressed by how the book was written. I finished the book in probably 2 days. Again, just the simple language, everything. Really easy to understand the concept, everything. The most impressive part is that she was so sick herself. She was a premature baby. Actually, in fact, back in '60s, early '60s, China has some nature disaster. During that time period, family actually didn't have enough food to eat. And when her mom found out she's pregnant again, she was actually going to do an abortion. Really didn't want to have another baby. And again, it's just a miracle reason. Her mom went to see a doctor to do this abortion, everything. And the doctor told her mom, no, it's too late already. Cannot perform abortion. And that's how she survived, actually. And then she had an accident when she was 19. She was hit by a car and was left unconscious for 4 hours. And that left her constant headache. Her memory went really bad. She just had this headache all the time. And she also has arthritis too, and she has knee infusion, and I mean she suffered a lot of pain too. And she said back then, there are times she had a hard time to walk. I mean, can you imagine 19 years old? 20. I mean,
wow.
Yeah. And she was a nurse. She went to nursing school, everything. So she worked in a hospital. So it's really convenient for her to see doctors to get treatment, right? You would think she, you know. However, I mean, nobody can really treat her. And eventually, she basically started to be her own doctor. She started to read books, to pretty much like you said, do everything, try everything she found on herself.
Mm-hmm.
And gradually, she found what works, what doesn't work for her. And she's 50 this year. When I look at her, I would guess probably 30, 40 the most. I mean, she looks young, healthy, in good shape, really healthy person. It's just amazing. She spent 20 years figuring this out. So that's
wow.
why she's my favorite author. I mean, just look at her. She's healthy, and she practiced what she talked about in her book. And
she overcame some obstacles to get there.
Exactly. Also, the main thing is she talked about food. So in traditional Chinese medical world, talk about food, there are different type of food. There are cold food by nature. There are hot food by nature. Take example, banana. It grows in the tropical area. So it's a cold food by nature because nature designed the system that way. In hot
uh-huh.
area, people will need cold food. So those are the cold
mm-hmm.
food by nature. And I mean, years ago, people pretty much eat local, right? You don't have this cross-region food chain, everything. So back then, the problem was not that severe, but nowadays you can eat anything you want, any season you want, right?
Yes.
I have nothing against the civilization or anything, but the point is there are so many choices out there. Every choice you make, there is a consequence with it, right?
Yes.
So when people take a lot of cold food and with a lot of use of air conditioning, refrigeration, all this stuff, your internal temperature start to drop. Again, I mean, this is the hypothesis right now. I'm
mm-hmm.
looking for a way to prove this, you know, somehow. I'm sure there are technology out there can prove this in the future down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So after I read her book, I actually went through my refrigerator, what's that cold food. I'm going to eliminate those from my list. So basically, they're hot, cold, and nutrient. So basically, all year round, you can eat the nutrient food. Typically, you eat the hot food in wintertime. Occasionally, cold food in summertime will be fine. But since I, based on her book, I feel like I have a lot of coldness in my body already. So early on, I decided I'm just going to eliminate all the cold food to begin with. Banana actually one of my favorite food. I haven't eaten any single banana since 2009. So, yeah.
Very good.
I think
Ping, that a lot of the difference in nutrition is that a lot of North Americans eat for pleasure. They look forward to a taste, a sensation, something. They eat for the pleasure of eating, but I think if you're eating for health, it's a totally different outlook on nutrition, do you think?
Well, nutritional food can be pleasure too, right?
Yes, yes. But if you eat for pleasure and don't keep nutrition and health in mind at least, or at the top of, ahead of pleasure, that's, I would imagine, where a lot of challenges come in. Yes, pleasure, ice cream and chocolate are pleasure, but the long-term effect and the health effect, what is it going to have? And so I think people have a hard time in our North American culture to keep the focus on eating healthfully rather than eating for pleasure.
Yeah, I agree. It is hard there. Yeah, but again, then the consequence will get people's attention,
yes.
I think, eventually.
Exactly. At some point, the consequences will show up, and by then it may be too late to change your eating or for it to have any effect on your health. And so what are, say, do you have like three or four top tips from what you've read about maybe how people can look after their nutrition a little better and their physical exercise as well?
Actually, before I go there, I want to share with you a little bit about the change I saw in myself, because I have considered myself pretty healthy in general, but I mean, starting from 2000, you know, with my dad's situation, everything, and start to help. Well, actually, I have constipation for a long time. Another problem I have, I actually had this problem since I remember things. I don't sweat. I can sit in sauna, everybody else soaking wet. I'm just, my face turns purple. I don't sweat at all. So, and starting 2007, I developed some problem with sleeping. I had sometimes a hard time fall asleep. Other time I woke up in the middle of the night and could not go back to sleep. So, I mean, none of those are life-threatening problem, but it really impact the quality of my life. And the other problem is I have some skin problem. I was in graduate school working with fiberglasses. After a while, I think I developed some allergic reaction to those. And every time I scratch my skin, I get a big red area on my skin. It's kind of, you know, bothering people. Yeah, so those are the problem I had. And after I got rid of all the cold food, everything, starting to pay attention on what I eat, I don't have the constipation problem anymore. Constipation problem disappeared.
Yeah.
And I think 2009, one day I work in gym, walking on a treadmill, I feel something moving on my arm. I thought it was a bug or something. I looked down, I saw drops of water, I mean sweat came out of me. I was so excited. Finally, after so many years, I learned how to sweat. I mean, it feels great. So sleeping problems get much, much better. I mean, instead of a couple times a week, I have once, maybe a couple months. So, I mean, I also had headache again between 2007-2009, that time period, that got way better too. So, I mean, again, I didn't do much changing. The only thing I actually add to my food list is the two fruits, actually. They are really popular back in China. One is jujube, the other one is langong. Jujube is also called Chinese dates. Those are right. Actually, I did a lot of did some research on the internet. Saw there are a lot of minerals, nutrition, antioxidants in that fruit. So it's really good.
Right.
So I add those two things in my diet. I pretty much cook a lot over the weekend. Just, you know, cook them in water and then grind them, just to get a little bit each day. Through the week. And as far as other food goes, like I said, I took out all the cold food. I mean, occasionally I still have those, especially summertime. Most of the time I don't have them. So those are the only two main changes I made. As far as the exercise goes, I've been doing yoga for the past 4 years. I'm still doing that. Didn't change much there either. Yeah. I mean, really,
and so you don't have to make big changes in your diet then, really.
Exactly. I really didn't feel like I make big change in my diet, but just pay attention and then, you know, the benefits are just unbelievable. I mean, give yourself patience too. I mean, it will take time because we didn't get to where we are today over time, right? you're not going to reward everything, you know, over time, I mean, overnight either. Yeah.
Yeah, and that may be some people's problem is impatience. Like they figure if they eat properly for a week or 2 weeks, that they should see results. But as you said, you ate wrong for so long that, you know, 1 or 2 weeks is not going to solve your problem.
Yeah.
Now, is that fruit available in the in North America very much? The jujube?
Yeah, jujube. I actually bought them here in Cincinnati. There is a Asian grocery store. I go there once a month, pretty much get that fruit for myself.
Oh, I've even heard that from good friends of mine that if you want to get different foods and maybe foods that are better for your health, that Chinese markets are a great place to go. And I know my mom goes to one and she finds food that, yeah, you wouldn't find in a regular grocery store, but they tend to be better quality, they tend to be better for you, and also foods that we're not always familiar with in North America.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yep. Nice. Now, you got your family following some of these nutritional things as well?
So typically what I do is I test everything on myself first. If I
mm-hmm.
see result, if I feel good about it, I will convince my husband, hey, you need to do this. So luckily, he is very acceptive. Well,
yes.
Very acceptive per se, that's based on his like and dislike. There are things he likes, he's very selective. Let's put it this way.
Okay.
I tried to convince him to give up the beer, and I don't have much success there. He listens to me if he wants to, and he ignores me all the time.
Oh, well, I do that as well. And I'm very picky about my food as well.
Yeah. So, but even with that, actually, he also saw some improvement in himself. He used to have pain in his knee and his heel, his back, and I mean in the past there are times I heard he complaining about pain pretty much every day, and it feels so good. I don't hear those complaints anymore. There are times
wow.
I have to ask, hey, do you still have the pain? And he, no, I don't have pain anymore. It's just it's good. Yep.
Wow, if you can help someone out of pain, that is a tremendous, tremendous benefit.
Yep. I mean, talking with Judy, I was so inspired by what you do and what you have been going through. I actually talked with Yueling last time. I talked with her on the phone, talked about you, and actually she was talking about maybe she can help. But she cannot guarantee right now because of all the replacement you had. But she said she's waiting to try, you know. But,
now, Yueling Ma's books, are they available like Amazon or are they readily available?
No, actually, they are available in China. They all her book in Chinese too. So that's something we need to probably make available to more people.
What about a North American book or one that you found maybe that people could buy on Amazon? Is there one or two that you really, really like that you could recommend for health?
Actually, one book I feel pretty good about is Dr. Colin Campbell, The China Study. That's one I like. Well, but he's promoting the plant-based diet, everything. So you talk about big change there. And the other book is Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease. That's by Dr. Colwell Essos, I think. He's from Cleveland Clinic. I mean, the main point I think people can take away is that really by changing your food, you can regain your health. Especially, I mean, it's really impressive study both doctors did. I mean, unbelievable amount of evidence in those books talk about the impact of diet on health, and especially with the heart problem. You know, it's reversible. I mean, that's so amazing. I was so excited after I read that book. It's actually reversible by just changing your diet. It's, how great is that?
Wow, amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and well, it was caused by eating wrong, so you think it could be reversed by eating wrongly as well. Or eating properly, I mean.
Eating properly, yeah. I mean, just amazing. I was just amazed at the healing power of our body has. You know, you damage it, and if you provide the proper nutrient, it can come back.
Amen, yes, exactly.
I never thought it that way, I mean, especially with heart problem. But now, I mean,
wow.
The evidence showing that. I'm really excited about it.
Wow, that is amazing. And so many people rely on pills and therapies when, in fact, if they looked at nutrition, they could reduce heart problems. And we know, at least in Canada, I think it's 1 out of 2 people die of heart problems.
Yeah.
And so just by changing a few things in your diet, you can reverse some of those health problems without having to take necessarily all these medications and Western medicine treatments.
Yep. But again, I mean, we are living in a world that both approach available or both approaches available. So people have the choice, I guess. What do you want to do?
Well, exactly. And this is what I teach as well, is that you have to be in charge of your own health care. A doctor may tell you something, but you can look into other things and you can decide what you feel will work best for you. Don't always have to believe that doctors are gods. They don't always have every technology or every, you know, they don't always know everything regarding nutrition and health. So many people treat their doctor like a god. They would never do anything that their doctor doesn't recommend. But you have to be smart. It's your own health. So look into as many different therapies and philosophies as you can.
Yep, exactly.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Ping. I really appreciate it. It's such an interesting topic, our health and our nutrition, and something that I know I've been confused about at times, but I still know that, you know, it doesn't always take a lot of changes to make a big improvement in your health. And so I appreciate the time that you spent today. I'm going to look into that book, The China Study, myself and go through some of the findings there. And I'm going to see if I can find anything on Yuling Ma that's North Americanized so that we can learn a little bit about her as well.
Thank you very much for having me. I mean, it's great. Again, like I said, I'm willing to speak for those who have an open mind, want to listen. It's exciting.
Yes, exactly.
Yep.
And I will be in Indiana in February, so I hope to see you then.
Okay. I'm looking forward to seeing you then.
All right. Thanks, Bing. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Take care.